this sermon, and I'm going to name it part one because I know there will be more to come with this, A Place Called Heaven.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Pray together with me. Lord, thank you for another time to dig into your word, and I thank you, Lord, for the time that we've had to worship you. Lord Jesus, I pray that today, as we begin your word, that it would just begin to penetrate us and penetrate our hearts and our souls, and that it would change us to the very core into who you are as far as King Jesus. And Lord, that we would be your people and that we would worship you. We worship the God who was, the God who is, and the God who evermore will be. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to worship you. Lord, we're just one of many people in many, many years that gets the chance to worship you, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, God's people said amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I would like us to go to several texts, and I want to start out in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 64. Isaiah 64, verse 4, and if you don't have your scriptures, we'll have Charlotte put that up there. And thank you, Charlotte, for ministering back there today. You gave Brother Rick a good reprieve, a day off, and we do thank Brother Rick. How many of you are thankful for Brother Rick? Amen. Always, always faithful, always faithful. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, besides you, what he has prepared for him that waiteth for him. Turn back with me to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear you, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in you before the sons of men. One more scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul speaking in verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. How many of you recognize that all three of those verses are talking pretty much of the same thing? This morning, the Lord has placed a sermon, a title on my heart, and I don't know how far this will go. But this sermon, and I'm going to name it part one because I know there will be more to come with this, A Place Called Heaven. And I want to talk about this place called heaven. And really, when the Lord began to lay this upon my heart, I was very humbled before God because I said, Lord, help me to do some sort of justice to this place called heaven that you describe in your word. And let me tell you right now that I do not know everything about heaven. And neither does anyone else that's on this earth. Now, first of all, I have never been to heaven. Now, I know a lot of people ask this question, especially when you're going through serious type of surgeries. And 3 years ago, as I went through that open heart surgery, you know, I had a couple people ask me, did you go to heaven? Did you see Jesus? I didn't see anything. I was put out. And I remember, how many of you remember when Lee died in our service here and God resurrected him? And several days later, I asked Lee, I said, did you go to heaven? And Lee said, no, but if I had, I would have argued with the Lord to not send me back there again. So I want to talk from what we know about what the Scriptures say. Now, many of us have lost loved ones that have gone on before us, that the Scriptures call a great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us. They are there in the presence of God right now and worshiping and rejoicing. And so many times people ask the question, as far as those that have gone on, or you will hear them say, you know, Uncle Joe, he's with me, he's watching over me. No, Uncle Joe's not watching over you, or your mother or your father are not watching over you. Because the keeper of our souls is who? Jesus Christ Himself. And the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord as far as being a believer. So, we have read about this place that eye has not seen, or ear has heard. What things the Lord has prepared for those, and according to these three verses that we read, according to those who do what? Who love Him, who wait upon Him, and trust in Him. This is a place only for those that love God, wait on Him, and trust in Him. Now, I want to say this because contrary to what we hear at many funerals, how many of you have been to a lot of funerals? And I can tell you that I've been to some funerals and I hear a sermon about how this particular individual is in heaven and they're with their brothers and sisters, their mother and their fathers. And it seems as if everybody that wants to preach in a funeral wants to say, well, they're in heaven to comfort those that are in the service. A few years ago, when I did Laura's brother's service, I stood up and I said, I have a question for you. Is Michael in hell? And everyone looked at me and went, I can't believe that preacher just said that. I said, many of you know Michael's life and how he lived. And you could see people start to squirm. Is Michael in hell? Or is he in heaven? I want to report, though, that just weeks before Michael passed away, that Laura was able to lead him to Jesus. Amen. Amen. And was able to share that with the congregation. But contrary to what we hear, not everyone goes to heaven. Because according to these verses, what we know is those who love Him, those who wait on Him, those who serve Him, and those who trust Him. Remember, all hail King Jesus. I want you to go with me over to Hebrews chapter 4. Now, not too long ago on our Wednesday night Bible study, we went through the book of Hebrews. And it is a very deep book and giving us the theology. But I want to go here in chapter 4. And I want to start in verse 2. We'll read that down to verse 11. Follow with me. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, being others. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So we know that not all, even though they hear the word of God, come to faith in Jesus. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter in my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing, therefore, it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered in not because of their, what, folks? their unbelief. So it all has to do, the gospel is preached. How many of you know in America right now we have more Christian radio stations, more churches, more gospel publications, more of the things of Christianity, but America is walking the opposite direction. As a matter of fact, do you know right now that other nations are sending missionaries to the United States to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's true. Again, verse 7, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as he said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remains a rest for the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief. I want us to know this place of heaven is a real place. It is a place that God has prepared for those that love Him, wait on Him, and trust Him. But there will be many that will not make this place because of unbelief. But that doesn't negate the fact, as the writer of Hebrews said, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. How many of you know that rest is heaven? That rest is in the presence of God that many of our loved ones are now into. Now, today I want to look at this place of heaven. We're going to be looking at the next several weeks as far as what heaven looks like, what we know about heaven, and what we know will be taking place in heaven, what we know won't be taking place in heaven. And so I'm not sure exactly how long this will be, and I said, Lord, I'm not sure why you want to bring this, but I want us to be well aware of this place that God has prepared and is preparing for us. How many of you have seen beautiful sights in your life? How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon before? Several of you have been to the Grand Canyon. How many of you have seen the Northern Lights? One, thank you. The Northern Lights, you know, that's something I would love to be able to see. We even went there and didn't see them in Alaska. But I want you to know that though you thought that was a beautiful sight, you have not seen anything yet. There are colors that God will have in heaven that none of us know about. Here's the wonderful thing, Pastor Aaron. You see, my eye doctor told me that I was, they're using the politically correct term, color deficient. Okay? Now, sometimes I see colors right and sometimes I see wrong. That's why God blessed me with a wife that has good color vision. Matter of fact, I think I put the wrong color pants on this morning. I think these were, are these blue or black? Someone tell me. They are black. I thought they were blue. Sorry about that. Okay? But in heaven, my color vision is going to be absolutely perfect, and we will see colors, ladies. I hear these ladies talking about colors that I've never even heard of. What are some of those colors like fuchsia and periwinkle? What?
Chartreuse.
I know that color, okay? And all these different colors, there will be colors that we have never seen before. There will be sights, there will be hearing of things that we have never heard before. For those, God has prepared those for us. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing for those that will wait upon Him. Today I want to look at this place and what we know about it and what it looks like. Well, we are reminded, and oftentimes in funerals this is brought up, John chapter 14. Many of you will recognize this, where Jesus is talking and trying to bring, I believe, some comfort to His followers. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many, what, church? There are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. In my Father's house are many what? Now we get some of our songs like, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that great land where we'll never grow old. Now, many times preachers have got up and said, you know what, God's going to have a fantastic mansion for you. It's not a little shack. It is a mansion for you. The wording here that Jesus used, there are many mansions, and that word actually means there are many residences. There are many abodes is what the word means. Now, as far as what they look like, we don't know. We just know that God has prepared something wonderful for you, Patty. Now, I'm not planning on you going right now, okay? Stick around for a little bit. But I know this, Jane, that in my Father's house, there are mansions. So one of the things that we have to understand is going back to this place, there is a place of rest for the believer. So it doesn't matter how long we toil here on this earth and the things that we go through, because some of us, you know, our lives are filled with tribulation, filled with trials and things that go on in our bodies, right? Go on in our lives, right? But in my Father's house, there are many mansions. There are places of abode and places of rest. So that's one thing that we know about heaven. We're going to get into some other things here. Now I want you to turn. We're going to look for the remainder of our time over in the book of Revelation. Now, how many of you have studied the book of Revelation before? Kathy, you better raise your hand. You taught that class, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And we've had it in the Ministry Training Center. And some things in the book of Revelation are very difficult to understand, but these portions are not difficult to understand, because what we're looking at here is what we're going to see in this place, Revelation chapter 21. I want you to follow along with me. In verse 10 is where we start. And we're going to read that down to 23. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain. This is John the Apostle here in the vision of Revelation. And the Lord shows him a great city, a holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal. And this city had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the walls thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it were equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first with a foundation of jasper, the second a sapphire, a third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, is the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
This. See, we are reading these things, and as I read through some of those stones, how many of you recognize some of those stones? Maybe a sapphire, topaz, right? All of these things. Let me tell you what you think one of those looks like. You have not a clue. You have not a clue because your eye has not seen, remember, what the Lord has prepared and what this place looks like. So let's break this down here. First of all, this New Jerusalem, this city that will be coming down, this heaven that we will be enjoying, first of all, we know that it has a high and a great wall around it. How many of you have been to Jerusalem before? A couple of you have been to Jerusalem before. Well, the city of Jerusalem, along with many other cities back in those days, and still today, has a wall that is built around it. And that wall is actually still fairly high. But when we look at this and we break this down, this great high wall is embedded with stones. All of these wonderful stones that are shining and bright. And from what we know from this scripture, that wall is going to be about 72 yards high around this city. 72 yards is what this breaks down at. And we also know that there will be 12 gates with 12 tribes of Israel that are written on them. Do you know God is very specific? There's nothing that He does that's by chance. That there were how many tribes in the Old Testament of Hebrew people? 12 tribes. So, and these 12 tribes will be written on this, and then there will be 12 stones or foundations with the names of the 12 disciples on there. Now, here's an interesting thing. When you go back, as a matter of fact, let's go back to the book of Acts right now. Acts chapter 1, and we all know pretty much the story that there were 12 disciples, and one of them was named Judas, what? Iscariot. And Judas was the one that betrayed Jesus. Now, what happens to Judas? He hangs himself. He kills himself. So here we find out, now in Acts chapter 1, verse 20, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate," speaking of Judas, "and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, one of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, under the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. In other words, this city that is to come has to have 12 what? Disciples that are written on these 12 foundations. So there had to be one more, and they appointed two. Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, you know the hearts of all men. Show us which of these two you have chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 disciples. See, God is very specific here, and this needed to be because Judas was no longer, and Matthias needed to come. And so what do we know? There will be 12 foundations or 12 stones with the names of the 12 disciples on there. Now today, maybe a little bit of preaching, a little bit of teaching, but I want you to understand what this is talking about and why God is so specific here. What else do we know? That the city is four square. Now, four square, for some of you that may not understand this, it means that it is exactly the same width to width, length to length, height to height. An exact square. Now, Paul, you'll be interested in this. That furlongs and that business that he's talking about here, that means that each square, each height, each depth will be about 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles. Now, I've thought about this quite often, and it kind of blows my mind. 1,500 miles, basically, I guess you could take about half of the United States. Lengthwise, and then again widthwise, and then take it up 1,500 miles. Now, I don't know where our houses will be placed somewhere in there, but we know God has a plan, amen? We know that within that, God has the plan, but one thing that I do know, you know, and again, I spoke about this when I started, so many people say, well, this place is not going to be big enough for all the people from eternity, from who started to fit in that place. Again, I want to come back to, do you think God knows what he's doing? Do you think God's making a mistake here? I know a lot of people say, well, that's never going to happen. You know, how are we going to fit all these people? Because after all these people have gone to heaven. No. I want to remind you that when many come before to stand before the Lord, he is going to say to some, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to this place that I have prepared for you. But others, he will say to them what? Depart from me. I never knew you. So it is important that we get this and we understand, who do we want to be? Do we want to be the people that he says, well done? Or do we want to be the ones that he says, Tucker, depart from me? I don't want to be that person. And that's why I've dedicated my life to bringing others and bringing this word of God to us. And I like this last part of this. There will be no temple there, because the Lord Jesus himself will be the one that we worship. I want to remind you that even back when Samuel was a prophet, the people kept crying, "Give us a king! Give us a king! Give us a king!" And Samuel said, "No, the Lord wants to be your king. We don't care. We want a king like everyone else." And that king led them into so many paths of destruction. But I want us to know that our Lord Jesus Christ will be that temple. There will be no need of the sun there. How many of you like the sun? Or would you rather live in darkness if there was no sun? We will have no need of the sun as we know it, because the sun, S-O-N, will be the one that gives light in that place. So this is what we know about the kingdom of heaven. We know about heaven. And again, we're going to continue on here in chapter 22. What else do we know? "And he showed me a pure river," verse 1, "of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the middle of the street of it, and on either side of that river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there will be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they have no need of candle, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Remember, we just sang that song, "All Hail King Jesus." And we shall reign with him throughout eternity. This is where this comes from. There will be a pure river, water of life. It will be better than any purification system that you know of. Some of us have water purification systems. How many of you have Brita? Anybody have a Brita in your house? Nobody. Oh, one. We have a Brita. What's some of those other water purification systems? Pure. Equate, right? There used to be one, I was thinking Calgon, but no, that's Calgon Take Me Home, right? Yeah. What is it? Culligan, yes. The Culligan man. This water, be clear as crystal. Can you imagine it, Tucker? It's hard for us to imagine that, isn't it? Some of us have seen crystal clear waters. If you've gone to the Caribbean, how many of you seen crystal clear water there? What we consider crystal clear water. I remember Laura and I went on one cruise and I was bored stiff. So I'm not the kind to go sit on the deck and just sunbathe and, you know, all this stuff. And so I decided that I was going to do a scuba diving class. And that was all great while we were practicing in the swimming pool there on the boat. But then they said, "You've got to go down 40 feet. And they do such things as you're down there, you get down there and you're just enjoying life. And it's crystal clear at 40 feet. You could see clear up to the top. And then all of a sudden, someone comes behind you, the instructor, and he turns off the valve on your oxygen. And, you know, I always wondered whether I could do that. Because what you practice was you had someone that was with you, and you tell them, "I have no oxygen." And then you've got to get their spare oxygen and blow it out, the water out of it, and then start breathing. And I thought, Tucker, I don't know whether I could do that. Let me tell you, when you're 40 feet and you're breathing and you're having a good time and then all of a sudden you go, you respond very quickly. And I was able to do that, But I want to specifically tell you that that water seems so clear. You could see what seemed like forever. But this water will be clear as crystal. Wow. Wow. If it's going to be clearer than that, and then in this place there will be something called the Tree of Life. Have you heard of that before? That's interesting to me. I want us to take a look at this. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Because this all plays into what we will see and what is in that place. Genesis chapter 3. And we start in verse 22. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he is taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of Garden of Eden cherubims and in a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." In other words, man was forbidden from coming near this tree. This tree of life. Man had already eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But God has again reserved this tree. What happens to this tree? Where is it? We see it again show up at the end of the book, Sister Joyce. Amen? The tree of life. You see, in that place, we will live forevermore with the Lord Jesus Christ. This tree of life and what we know of it there coming out from the throne and from this river. And again, let me get back there to it, chapter 22. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Let me tell you something. There will be no curse there in this place. How many of you know, living here, there are curses. We are subject to so many things here, but not in that place. We will see Him face to face. We will have His name written on our foreheads. And there will be no more night there. No more darkness. No more night. Because He will be our light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now what I want to take away from this morning, we've heard the things that heaven will be. Most important thing to take away is heaven is for those that will love God, wait on Him, and trust Him. Jump down to verse 11. Of Revelation 22. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into that city." We can talk about heaven. We can hear about heaven. We can know about it from what the Scriptures tell us. But all those things don't mean that we get to enter in. How do we enter in? By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb, folks. Listen, blessed are those that do His commandments. That love the Lord your God with all of your heart. It's not enough just to come to church. It's not enough to say, well, you know, I attended Sunday school for 42 years. It isn't. It is about knowing Jesus really, truly, in your heart. Then we get to enter in through those gates. So my word is here today, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do you want to see heaven? That's what Jesus said. Here's what Jesus also said. Any man that puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Is not fit to enter into these gates. I don't know about you, but I want to see those gates, John, don't you? I want to enter into those gates. Therefore, I must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For those that have gone before us, that have made heaven, that have given their lives for Jesus Christ and a testimony for Him, how many of you want to see them again? Yeah. Pay attention to the words of the Lord Jesus. He wants to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to that which the Lord has prepared for you. Father, I thank you for this word today. I thank you for the glimpse of this place called heaven. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to continually keep that before our hearts and before our minds. And Lord, that we would serve you with a pure heart. And God, if there be anything in our lives that is stopping us from serving you completely, Father, I pray that you convict us of it. And that we would offer ourselves wholly, a sacrifice well-pleasing to you, Lord. I'll give you praise and I'll give you honor, Lord. Thanks for the insight in your word and thanks for that which you have prepared for us. In the name of Jesus. God's people said, amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.